Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. In our last class session, we began a study of the conversion of Cornelius. You may want to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, and be ready to refer from the verses between Acts 10, verse 1, and Acts 11, 18, for that is where we read about that conversion. And then we turned to our little Sunday school book of Elam's notes to hear what E.A. Elam had to say about that text and that conversion. In Sunday school notes, he wrote for the Sunday schools of May the 31st, 1925. We're not going to reread the text, but we are going to return to Elam's notes in just a moment. In the meantime, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's turn to Elam's notes. We were talking last time about how Cornelius was such a good man. He was devout. He feared and worshiped God. He taught his family in the fear of God, and his influence were felt by his soldiers and kinsmen. He gave much alms to the people. He prayed to God always, and he fasted. He was a just man and of good report among the nation of the Jews. Why, he is one of the finest examples of a man of religious devotion and character that you're going to find in the Bible. But the man needed to send to Joppa for Peter to hear words from him whereby he and all his house must be saved, Acts 11:14. Elam wrote, "There are just, honest, and moral men today, not so good as Cornelius, who are depending upon their own honesty and morality to take them to heaven. If any man could be saved on his morality and without the Church of Christ, Cornelius could have been." Now let's continue on with what Elam had written about this case of conversion. Men owe reverence and obedience to God as well as to their fellow men, and there can be no greater sin than a refusal to obey God for his appointments and ordinances and commandments. If the devout Jew cannot be saved without Christ, neither can the honest and devout Gentile. There is no salvation without Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that had faith in Jesus, Romans 3:25 and 26. And Jesus, in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, is the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. Cornelius had turned from idolatry to the acceptance of the true God and was walking according to the light he had, and he must accept Christ and need more light. To such as seek for it, God sends the truth. Now, why this vision that Peter had and that Cornelius had? Why these visions? It says he saw in a vision openly, as it were about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him. The first step taking in bringing this man to Christ was the appearance of an angel, as in the conversion of the eunuch. Although in the eunuch's case, the angel appeared to the preacher, and in this one, to the man to be converted. Yet the mission of the angel was the same in both cases, namely, to bring the preacher and the man to be converted together. Visions, angels, even the appearance of Jesus himself did not set aside the necessity of human agency. Philip must go to the eunuch, Ananias to Saul of Tarsus, and so also Peter to Cornelius. Jesus had committed this matter of preaching the gospel and telling people what to do to be saved to the apostles. And this is what he meant when he said, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven," Matthew 16:19. "And whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained," John 20:23. The apostles could bind and loose or forgive and retain sins only insofar as they were commissioned to preach the conditions of pardon or salvation. God forgives those who do what the apostles teach and retains the sins of those who refuse to do so. The apostles were his ambassadors, and to them was committed the ministry of reconciliation. And the word of reconciliation are the conditions of pardon. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. The majority of religious leaders ignore this fact today and scorn the idea of human agency, while not a few claim to be ambassadors of Christ. Cornelius, fastening his eyes upon the angel and being affrighted, said, "What is it, Lord?" Cornelius feared in the presence of the angel and wanted to know what was desired. The Lord answered through the angel, "Thy prayers and thine alms are gone up for memorial before God." God heard the prayers of Cornelius before he had accepted Christ. God always hears those who are ready to hear him, but he refuses to hear those who refuse to hear him. Proverbs 28:9. But God's answer was quite different from that which many under similar circumstances are now taught to expect. The angel did not tell Cornelius that his sins were already forgiven or that he was already saved, but directed him to send for Peter, who would tell him words whereby he must be saved. The appearance of this angel was not a dream. It occurred when Cornelius was engaged in prayer at the 9th hour, or 3 o'clock, in the afternoon. Peter was lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. The angel gave minute directions as to where Peter could be found. Having given these directions, the angel departed. Cornelius at once called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. Having rehearsed all the things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. This devout soldier was a Gentile, an Italian. Now Peter becomes convinced. Cornelius forthwith sent these men. On the morrow after they started their journey, they drew nigh unto Joppa. While these men were on their way for Peter, God was preparing him to go. Hence, the next step in the conversion of Cornelius is Peter's going. Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. That means about noon. Peter was devout, and his example here is worthy of our emulation. He felt the need of prayer, of regular prayer, and prayed. It being the hour of the noonday meal, Peter became hungry, and while the good people of the house were preparing the meal, he fell into a trance. Peter saw heaven open, and a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth. This sheet hung by the four corners, and suspended by the four corners by cords, made the vessel, which contained all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. With this sheet came a voice from heaven saying, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Although this was a vision, Peter felt the force of hunger, but resisted the temptation to eat anything unclean, saying, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Under the law of Moses, certain birds and beasts were unclean, and the Jews were forbidden to eat them. We read that old law in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11. And again, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verses 3 through 21, again the voice came, and in response to Peter said, "What God hath cleansed, make not thou common." Under Christ, the restriction from eating animals had been removed. But under Christ, we're commanded to abstain from the pollutions of idols and from fornication and from what was strangled by blood, what was strangled and from blood, Acts 15, 20, and 29. At this time, Peter did not know this and would not do what he considered wrong. But now Peter must learn that what God hath cleansed and offered to him, he must accept. Or what God had accepted, he must not reject. This was done three times. That is, the sheet was lowered and drawn up three times, and then it was received up into heaven. Some think this was done three times to correspond with the three messengers sent by Cornelius. While Peter thought on the vision, he was unable to decide what its meaning could be. The messenger sent by Cornelius approached the gate and called for him, still meditating on the vision and wondering what could be its purport. The Spirit informed Peter that the three men sought him and instructed him to go with them, saying, "Go with them, nothing doubting, for I have sent them." The message of the holy angel, the vision of Peter, and the command of the Spirit to go to thoroughly convince Peter that he should preach to the gospel to the Gentiles, he lodged the messengers overnight and sent them out on the morrow with six Jewish brethren for him, declaring that Cornelius, who was falling before him, should not worship him. Peter went in, explaining hitherto that it had been considered unlawful for a Jew to come into one of another nation, but the God had shown him that he should call no man common or unclean, and that therefore he had come without gainsaying, and asked with what intent they had sent him. Well, Cornelius explained why he'd sent for Peter. Cornelius related his experience to Peter, an explanation as to why he had sent for him, and said, "Now therefore we're all here present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord." This last statement shows that all present realized they were in the presence of God, and that what Peter had to relate was a message from God, and they were ready to do all that God commands through Peter. Well, God is no respecter of persons. The Jews thought God was partial to them, Matthew 3, 7 through 12, but Peter now sees this as a mistake. He understands now that one does not have to become a Jew in order to serve God, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. God respects character, not persons. He was never a respecter of persons. He gives the following as his reason for accepting Abraham: "For I have known him, to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Jehovah, that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him," Genesis 18:19. When the Jews rejected the truth, God cast them off, and will graft them in again if they continue not in their unbelief, Romans 11:19-24. The Gentiles were rejected because, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, Romans 1:18-32. Two things are essential, namely, to fear God and work righteousness. To fear God is to obey him, and to work righteousness is to discharge all duties to our fellow man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need salvation. God loves all. Christ died for all, and all must be saved alike through Christ. Well, that's as far as we're going to get on this Sunday school lesson. We've got more about the remission of sins in the name of Christ and such, but we'll do that when we gather together again for the next class.